Alright, welcome. We back with another review. We're gonna do Snowfall. Me and Ted got to see a pre-screener with John Singleton and the whole, half of the cast of the show Snowfall is gonna be on FX coming out next week. Ted, off the bat, what was your kind of thoughts of the, they screened the first episode for us, so.
I think it was extremely well done, man. It was highly stylized, you know, watching, boy operate
Franklin.
Yeah, you know, the story was really well put together. You know, looking at it I couldn't tell that, well, you know, Singleton doesn't really have his own, like, you know, signature move, but the way the cinematography and the how stylized it was, it just didn't remind me of Singleton. So it's
yeah, because he didn't direct it though.
Oh, that's right,
from Belgium, right?
So yeah, but it's really well put together. You know, it's got like three plot lines that are kind of interweaving slowly but surely, man. They just did a really good job at putting that together.
Yes, for people that may not know, Snowfall is basically a show showing how crack hit California in the early 80s. So we talking about right before hip hop. This is 83, I believe the show starts from. So it's 83. You got all your funk, which is Zapp and Roger. The music really set the tempo for the show a lot with the backdrop, because you can just imagine how a young person would be sitting there riding a Zapp and Roger, you know, Computer Love or something like that, just and just kicking it, you know, before, you know, younger people start listening more to hip-hop. Thing about the show is it shows it from three different perspectives, cultural perspectives. Shows one from a white CIA agent's perspective, a black youth, someone in South Central, and from Hispanic guy that was like, was he a wrestler or like...
Yeah.
What is kind of wrestling is that called? The Mexican wrestling? You know, it's not Macho Libre.
Nah.
That's the movie with,
It starts with an M.
Yeah, but it's the Mexican style wrestling with the mask, but he's one of those, but he's also like a hitman member of like the Mexican mafia type thing. So it shows their different perspectives, and I guess it's going to show how they all intertwine and go through. Main character's name is Franklin. He's actually, man, the British people taking over, man. He's British too.
It's Lucha Libre.
Lucha Libre, okay. But Damus Idris is playing Franklin Saint. He's the main character of the show. He's British, but Dove C, they said, was his vocal coach, how to speak California or South Central ish. That's hilarious that Dove C is now getting into
training.
For how to speak South Central. But he's straight, it basically reminds you, it sounds like Idris Elba, how he flipped it for The Wire with when he did The Wire. You didn't know he's British until we met him at the...
Right, he actually started talking.
Yeah, taught him to start talking. But it basically goes through Franklin, a CIA agent named, is that the one, Teddy?
Teddy
McDonald, who's basically a CIA agent who was, we don't know why, but he's pushed off he's CIA, but they put him on some bullshit assignment where he ain't doing nothing, and he's not in the action. Like they retired him, but didn't retire him. It's like almost like when it's a person to a job.
They made it seem like he did some stuff for his country, and it wasn't necessarily good stuff, but it had to be done. So he was a scapegoat. So they were like, yo,
I'm gonna put you out here just pushing pencils. He was basically sharpening pencils.
Yeah, basically.
In an office that was in a basement randomly. And it was like some random, like, engineering tech. And it was just like, yeah. It's real riveting, man, because it kind of hits you and it gives you a feel of an older Wire, but not necessarily that, but a little bit more, I wouldn't say grittier, because the Wire is super gritty, but it just gives you an old school feel of a, California. It gives you like, and it makes you feel how California was kind of maybe more laid back and kind of more, I wouldn't say there wasn't no crime then, but it felt like it was a little bit more of what people thought when they thought about California before the crack epidemic.
Right.
When people were like, I remember a lot of people on the East Coast when they saw the movie Colors, they were like, oh shit. Or Boys in the Hood, like, damn, I thought California was like movies and people kicking it. That kind of, it kind of gives you that, you know, dark tone, and this is basically before crack hit. So this is basically your beginnings of all that kind of different thing. What was your kind of thoughts on the, I guess on the CIA agent, though, how he kind of, that was interesting, his whole story of how they introduced him. Like, he felt like he was back. Like, it was like almost like, Mortimer, I'm back.
Well, I mean, he just reminds me of, like, you know, like a helmet head, like a jar head. You know what I mean? Like, that are really want, they have an idea of what the action looks like. And, you know, they want to get in there because there's this, I don't know.
Like his glamorized life.
Yeah, like this glamorized life of a soldier. And so
his is a CIA, though. Right, like, right, like, I'm, right. I'm ops.
Right.
You know.
And so he did it and didn't work out to his fashion. So he's like, yo, I need that push in life, that edge. And so the way the way that he's even brought into the game is crazy.
Yeah, it's just accidental as fuck.
You know what I mean? So he's just trying to use his opportunity as milk this opportunity as much as possible, you know, to line himself up to, you know, make this comeback and make a name for himself.
Yeah, it's interesting how he, you seem like his, I wonder if we're going to learn, it's funny you said the Jarhead thing, because there's a scene in there, and they're not spoiling it, but I don't even know, was that his kid, you think, in that one scene? And his, like, or in his girl, or was that, like, his sister or something? Like that, I don't know, it wasn't clear in that scene. And it's almost like he's psychopath, like, he's detached from whoever it is.
Yeah, I think, honestly, I think it's his wife. I think it's, like, it's an ex-wife, because he, you know, he was trying to live that life, and it didn't work out. He has a kid.
Because she was very dismissive of him, yeah. Because the baby was crying, like, yeah, I got to get up off the phone with you. Like, damn, like.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's.
She didn't even know his new phone. Remember, he was trying to give her the new phone number, like, and she's like, she ain't got to get my phone number, my new phone number.
You could just tell he hasn't really been around. You know
whoever
I mean?
It is.
Right, yeah.
Do you think that's his wife, ex-wife, or wife?
I think it's his ex-wife.
And he's got a kid, then they got divorced or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Which is crazy in itself, because it's like, what was he doing beforehand to be with her, to even have time to get her pregnant, if he was on some other mission before he is where he is now?
Because
you would think him being on the down low right now, he'd be open to be able to talk to his wife and kid, if that's his kid, you know what I mean? Because he'd seem like he's bored as fuck with whatever he's doing.
You know what? Maybe it's his ex-wife, or maybe it's some chick he knocked up on the side while he was on the mission. And he's like, yo, I'm really trying
And maybe that's why it's open, what we right. don't know. That relationship with that person.
Man, he's just trying to figure out what it's like, you know, trying to get to know his kid a little bit, but because it's on some side shit, she's not really paying him no attention. You know what I mean? So.
And the character of Franklin, we can jump into him. He's basically a homeboy from Dope in the early 80s, right? But just a little bit more hardcore.
Well, he's. Yes and no. Like, he is. In the sense, like, he's more respected than the dude in Dope.
He's more of a leader. He's the leader of his crew too.
Well, the kid in Dope was too, but the kid in Dope, it was, their shit was kind of like nerdy, like, you know, we come
I'm
together.
I'm an outcast, you outcast.
Yeah,
we're all
yeah.
Together.
More of that shit, you know. Versus like, you know, I'm good with all the people in the hood. I'm just the smart nigga out the hood, you know.
Yeah,
because
he went out to the, basically for people that's from St. Louis or anyone in a desegregation program, he basically went out to a white school to go to school. He's like basically one of the first people doing it. Early 80s is basically when they start desegregating schools, and it's so funny they fucking took that long from the Brown Board of Education in 56, right. And it took all the way to the late 70s, early 80s to desegregate schools. But so he's like the one that kind of made it out, right, to a certain extent, because remember they were like, why don't you stay out there in the valley going to school and doing whatever.
Right, well, I think they were just talking about going to college, and he was just
yeah
like,
he was like yeah he was
I,
like,
I ain't really trying
mom,
to do
for my mom.
Like, you know, well, he's basically he's trying to say that, like, either way you look at it, I don't fit in. Like, I'm not really like the people here, you know, I mean, these my folks, but you know, my brainwave is different. Like, I think on a different level. Like, I don't aspire for the same shit that they do here. But at the same time, he's like, I really notice it when I go. I mean, me and you can attest to that.
Yeah,
you
go to somewhere else.
You go to a
dude, I feel like him so much when he was at that party, man, when he was sitting there by himself at the pool, only black dude there.
I'm telling you.
And it's like, and it's so funny when he was like, yeah, can you go do that? That's how I was, though. Like, I can't do no hood shit. You know, like it's so funny. I was telling my wife how I would be able to use fake IDs. They would give me way easier. like random black people they would find, because in white areas, because they didn't know how black people think we all look the same. Like, they used to use that as an opportunity point to get liquor.
Oh.
Because they would just get some random black dude named Cleophas or something. Right. And then be like, yo, AD, you could probably go in there, because you can go on. Back then, that's, remember when Walgreens used to sell liquor heavy then.
Right.
They do now, but they used to have like a whole liquor section then. And they'd be like, go in there, you can do it, because. And then, because they figured out that white people don't know how black people look. They do
right,
look
how
the
black
same.
People, right, yeah.
You know. And it felt like that with Franklin, with the scene, you know, with how he kind of kicks off, you know, this whole empire, and how basically that dude was just a dude. Like, you know, he just remembered him from high school, and he's just bring him weed out to his house. You know, like, think about it. He was taking that weed far. He was taking buses and shit and everything out there.
You talking about
when he was the white guy he went to high school with, they brought the weed out there too.
Yeah, I mean, is
like, how much money was he spending that he took? It's like he took a far. It was, they said it was like 30-45 minute bus ride
to bring him his weed.
Yeah, to bring that guy in the valley his weed. 45 minute bus ride.
Yeah, but you gotta think, that ain't shit for you. 18, like, you know, like, he, this is the only source of income outside of working.
He like, hey, I gotta get this paid,
and it's quick. Too. Like, it ain't no, like,
he might have had a lot of, he might have been, comparatively to anybody else, he ain't got to sell a whole bunch of dimes. He could sell a nice amount.
Right, right, a whole solid.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I think it's going to turn out to be a really good show.
Yeah. And it's on FX, so it's, now, I'm wondering if ours is a little bit more unedited than it will be on FX.
I don't know, they pushing the industry.
I mean, cause they were saying they were saying fucking everything in there. And then, I mean, the nudity scenes, they were real close.
I mean,
they were real close.
They were super close. I mean, the way old boy passed away, enough.
Yeah. So, I mean, and then, like, the actress that plays his aunt is pretty dope in there. What's her name? Because most of all these actors, except for his mother is played by, if anybody remembers knows The Wire, of course you should know The Wire, except for Teddy's the only one that's seen it. Avon's sister is Franklin's mother in this show. She's the only, well, and his uncle too is a veteran. He plays the dude trying to chase them in dope. Is the uncle with the curl?
Yeah, I forgot.
That's
about
his
that.
Uncle. But mostly, other than that, most of these actors are kind of first. Are they first big role? This is their first big role? What was the girl's name, man? I'm not seeing her on the roster. That played his auntie.
I forgot.
She was at the screening too. But she played a good job though, man. Cause you realize in that show, at first you think that, oh, she just on some, just a dope head kind of chick that's just posted up. And you find out she knows some shit, and she's been in life.
Right.
And maybe she's medicating herself from the bullshit she had been through before, with the way her getting high and stuff. Maybe we find it out through the show.
Or it's just like, it's just an addiction. Like,
yeah,
she's just one of those people who, you know, who know how to navigate the life, because she used to be in some bullshit. And so, like, and wasn't able to break free from it.
Yeah, so it's going to be an interesting show. You have the last main character, Gustavo El Oso. He is the wrestler who's also, what, a slash hitman?
I don't think
just not a hitman slash
burglar.
I put in work for you, whatever you kind of want.
Well, not really. I mean, I think they pushed him into that. I don't think that was originally what he was doing. I think they had him, like, you know, kind of, it wasn't really a hitman. It was kind of more like just a muscle.
Yeah,
you know,
okay.
Like,
that's a better,
you know, yeah. I I'll rough you up a little bit till you get the fuck out of here. If I need you to go take some shit from somebody, that's cool.
I'll take some money from you, whatever.
Right. But I think it just, it turns deadly at some point.
Yeah. So, and then he's basically trying to figure his way out, because I guess wrestling's not going right for him.
Well, it's just not enough to pay the bills. Like,
yeah.
You know,
he's living
at
his
car.
Yeah, living out his truck.
You know, he's looking for a place to. It seems like he doesn't have a circle. Like, he doesn't have any friends. Like, and they're like, you know, they're trying to pull him in. Like,
and they kept on saying being a part of our family. Like, that was more the attraction to him, more than actually the money and the opportunity. And then y'all will see he's caught in a dilemma at the end of the episode. That's very, very interesting in itself. What'd you think about some of the. Franklin's friends, the two friends, well, one of the characters, we really get into him, but you have the other one that was actually at the screening, which was interesting. His story, actually, he said he was a janitor when he got the call to be in the TV show.
Yeah, please, man.
Uh, you, is that Carter Hudson? Carter? Is that his name? So. Yeah. He's the one. He just got out of juvie. He a wild boy. This dude playing the boombox loud. But it's funny. He's playing like Midnight Star, though, but loud on the bus. Think about that. In 83, though, now you probably be happy somebody came on the bus playing somebody that young playing Midnight Star. You know?
That's true.
Or playing Cutie Pie by One Way,
I think it was Cutie Pie.
He was Cutie Pie by One Way, right. And it's like, and people were mad, like, hey, can you turn that down? He was like, bitch, I'll turn it up if I want to. And he kept turning it up and everything. So he was interesting character. He's somebody that's going to be interesting. He's going to be the one, I'm thinking, it may be the one. He's going to constantly keep in check. That's going to be fucking up his money.
He's going to die.
Damn. You think he's going to die?
Yeah. It's always got, it's somebody close to him that always passes away.
Boy, is that predictable that he'll die, though? Maybe he's the one that just is a live wire and he ends up teaching him, like, he kind of keeps him balanced with the shit.
Nah. Because live wires are always the ones that get clipped. They're the ones that die. Because you get attached to them because they're like, they're the little brother. So they want to do right, and you want them to do right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, he's wild, but you like him because his intentions are pure. Like, he just wants to be there for Franklin, protect him, do the shit that Franklin don't want to do to keep Franklin out of trouble. You know what I'm saying? And because you like him, you got a game, you got a GOT him.
Yeah. You got a Game of Thrones?
You got a Game of Thrones.
Damn, man, yeah, because I can see how some people may unlike him, like, damn, he's just so uncouth, but you got to realize, this is somebody that has never been around white people, maybe necessarily, their whole life. Went to juvenile, probably dealt with a whole bunch of fucked up COs that was white while he was in juvenile. We don't know what he went in juvenile for, but we'll find that out, I guess, as the series goes along, but you can feel he's got all these pent-up energy and everything, and he's just like, Franklin's really exposing him to the rest of the world at this point.
Yeah, I mean, he's acting like that. Well, we probably all would have acted like that at that motherfucking party.
Yeah, but he was a little bit more extra, though.
Nah, nigga, dicks out, bro.
No, man, he was a little bit more extra, man.
Dicks
he
out.
Was definitely more extra in that, man. He wasn't. He was definitely more extra.
Listen, I mean, it's going to be
And the third friend, we really didn't get much into him.
So it's either he going to die or
the third friend?
The chick.
Or the chick. Oh, yeah, the girlfriend. Well, it's not his girlfriend. It's his next door neighbor.
Yeah, well, it's like his girlfriend.
You think they already have?
They showed it.
Remember they was getting ready to. And remember homeboy hated on him and cops started knocking on the door. And they came in with the boombox, start dancing.
I thought they kissed and
no, she was getting ready to. And he hated on him.
Nah, they kissed.
He hated on him, man. He didn't get a chance to kiss him.
Nah, they did. They did kiss and then he knocked on the door and that's why he was pissed. He was like, fuck. You know what I mean?
I thought they didn't kiss, and he hated on them. That's why he was like, fuck, man. And then he came in with the boombox. No, yeah. So that's the reason I wonder if he was hating, though, because homeboy kind of like her, though, too. The other homeboy kind of like her. And I wonder, that may be some contention coming up soon, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of stuff that's going to be in play. I think he's going to be mad because...
the money and...
Well, I think there's a lot of shit that's going to happen because he's playing around... big business, so I think his uncle's gonna come into play. I think something's either gonna happen to his uncle or something's gonna happen to his aunt. It's probably gonna happen to his aunt, to be honest. And then it's gonna give word to his uncle, and his uncle's gonna be pissed as fuck at him.
Oh,
because he told him, like, leave that shit be.
Yeah, and like, yeah, because he said, don't fuck around this dope game like that. Like, selling weed and selling sherm is all right, but when you sell moving up to that coke. That's a whole different thing. I mean, if you see what happens when he first trying to sell the cocaine, you know how much drama he's in at the beginning. And it moves kind of slow at the beginning, but it picks up. The show picks up and gets you caught in into the characters. And it, to me, I feel like you care about the characters a lot.
Well, I think there's just a lot of people that you can resonate with. Like, all of them. No, I think all of them is more so. It's more so the fact that all of them come from outside of Teddy. Both the other two characters kind of come from really circumstantial sort of situations. Like Franklin, he's kind of choosing to be in that life, but he doesn't really have. I don't want to say a lot of guidance. Really, is just young, ambitious, and stupid. You know what I'm saying? So, with him being young, ambitious, and with it being Young, Ambitious, and Stupid, it's just like, you know, you want to root for him because he's like, the reason he's doing it
is
noble. You know what I'm saying? But the other dude, the Lucha Libre,
yeah,
like you really want to root for him because he's just trying to find a home,
like somewhere,
really,
like, literally and figuratively,
right, like with somebody somewhere. So I think that's why you get drawn in so fast, because it's like, damn, you feel sorry for these people, because they just really just trying to make a way. And like the Lucha Libre, you almost feel like he just don't have no other choice.
Yeah.
Where Franklin, you like, yeah, you just trying to be a smart ass about it. Like you thinking that you can, you know, understand the game.
Yeah, this show, man, this show has a lot of potential to do a lot of different stuff, man. And that's what I'm liking about it, is that it's got opportunity to do a lot of different things because it's historical, and it's, you can introduce so many different characters potentially. I mean, they got a character introduced throughout it that you're interested in, just like, why is this person here? Why is this person there? What is their demo? Like, particularly his mother, like, you know. And then you got a whole thing with Franklin's dad. That's a whole crazy thing in itself that Franklin's dealing with. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? With this whole situation with his father. You know, like, so it and I like it because this is giving some depth to these characters, though. And a lot of shows aren't doing, I mean, you know what, I'll take that back. There are a lot of shows doing that, but I like that it's a crime drama, but it's depth, it has some depth to it. Now, I don't know, this is all from the pilot episode, so.
I mean, they covered that, well, keep in mind, that pilot episode was like fucking an hour and a half,
maybe. Because we were in the theater, to watch it, and I felt like we had to be in an hour and a half, right?
It was like an hour 45, it was only
yeah. And you got to think, we ain't had no commercials either.
Nah.
So the first episode might be a 2-hour premiere.
Yeah. It probably is, actually. It's probably
like a 2-hour movie.
It's probably like 15 to 30 minutes worth of commercials.
Yeah. So you got to say it's probably an hour and a half. Yeah.
Minutes.
So yeah, it's, I'm going to give it 4 out of 5 stars, man.
Yeah, man. I'm probably about there. I'm probably like a 4.2.
And it has a very opportunity to go up. Like it I don't see it having of any show can fall off. But I don't see like, oh yeah, it's a pitfall here and there. I'm only not giving it a perfect score because I ain't seen nothing but the first episode. So
right,
I don't have
much
to go on but a pilot. But I tell you, this is better than All Eyes on Me. That's why I tell you that. Built more characters in the FX show and made you care about 3 different sets of characters, and you couldn't make them care about 1 and All Eyes on Me. So that's to give y'all a personal perspective for all those people out there. But yeah, appreciate y'all listening to this review, and we'll be coming with more reviews soon, and keep on checking us out.